Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine.
How can you not like this song?
I don't know how you can not like the song.
You just said, how can you not like this song, man?
Me and Bilal looking
man,
at each
look
other.
Look at me, man. Yeah. Man, look at Larry looking at you crazy like this, man.
And they just fist bumped to the song.
And y'all just fist bumped to the song.
What do you expect out of music?
What do I expect out of music?
You're thinking of it way too deep. You know, I don't care if it's a little girl band. The music sounds great. What?
What do you mean, what? God. Yeah, wait, what? Look.
Wait, what?
Hey, Sod.
I did not think I was going to wake up this morning and have
Soryo to Skater Boy
and Blumenthal fist bump to Skater Boy.
That
was not.
So, we didn't use up our whole 34 seconds. Run that again for maybe 10, 15 seconds.
I mean.
Well, have you heard? You know this song, you guys?
I've heard it.
This song, I don't even know
how
old
it is. It's like 20
years
old.
Yeah. Are you just discovering this?
No, I'm not discovering it. It's been on my phone for 30 years. But the point is, that's why it's still on my phone.
Speaking of which, have you guys turned in your top tens yet? Because I did my homework. I turned it in.
I'm going to have two bonus tracks.
So have you ever just been like, man, I want to hear some Skater Boy right now. Let me just put it on.
You can borrow that. You can put that in your top 10 if you need some fill-ins.
So here's the problem with you guys, you being the young generation.
Let's hear this out.
You're listening to music from sea level. I'm listening to music from 30,000 feet up. It's rock and roll. It sounds great.
Don't try to make this sound like you are somehow aesthetically listening this on another level. Doc,
I'm telling you, I have no idea who she is.
You think I do? Like,
wait, so are you offended by the fact that its title is Skater Boy?
No, I just...
It doesn't matter what the title is.
I'm more blown away that this genre of music.
Someone else liked the song too.
I have nothing against Avril Lavigne. I have nothing against the song.
Who sings the song?
Oh yeah,
she's fine. Dude, you're the odd man out.
I didn't know who sang it.
And that's the point. Is if I like the song, I don't care who sings it.
Like, I got no musical talent, so I got no skin in the game of any music or anything at all. Any musician to me is a talented genius. I don't even know how they pick up an instrument that with five strings and make music.
So
blows my mind.
When we end the show,
yes.
When we end the show, there is some theme music that seems to be playing in the background as we're telling people, listen to us next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow or another, you being at sea level, you know what the theme music goes to, and you know what the song is, and you know who sings it. To me, it just sounds good, so we play it. Do you see what I'm saying here? So isn't it Lollipop? Okay.
Oh my God!
So,
you know Shaji, who comes in, who
Adams?
He's recently started coming in.
He's like, why is Doc playing strip club music on the way out?
First time he walked in, and I'm showing him how to do the end of the show, and I'm like, he's like that song, like that music, and I'm like, yeah, this is just what we've always done since I've been here. And Lollipop, by the way, is a song that came out like in 2006, 2007?
Oh, man. Back in the day, one of Lil Wayne's.
So you're who plays it?
Lil Wayne.
Didn't know. So you're making my point for me. It's a piece of music that.
You just like.
I like it.
I like
Don't
it.
Care I would who encourage. Sings it. I would encourage you to listen to the song on your way home
thank
today.
Thank you. Thank you.
What are the lyrics?
Probably never play it again.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Potentially.
And then after you listen to it, call me and be like, "What are some of the things he was talking about here?" Just so I'm clear.
I actually didn't know that you picked it. I just thought ESPN did that.
Well, they did, but I went along with it.
Sounds good. 30,000 feet.
You got me curious now. I'm looking up the lyrics.
I don't know of the song. Don't know the words, but that sounds great. Let's go with that.
Yes. So
that great exit song.
And there was another song that I really liked that turned out to be by Taylor Swift. Big deal. So I'm a Swiftie.
Oh.
Is that what her tribe is called?
I don't
Swifties?
Know, man.
Yeah.
The Swifties?
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. We got to change it.
We have to change the subject because I don't understand. So I think we've pretty much talked the KP thing down. If for some reason the Mavs do go on and win this series, and there's a second series, you heard it here first. He ain't playing. I'd be shocked if you
I do have one question, if I may. The KP thing, do you think it has something to do with 7 foot, the way he plays? Because obviously no one knows 7 footer that's mobile better than you. You saw Dirk in his heyday. But Dirk, even though he was mobile even back in the day,
he wasn't this mobile.
He wasn't this mobile. No. So, KP, there are headlines written that say he is the world's biggest point guard, which is the way he plays. So I'm curious what you think about that.
A lot of lateral movement.
Yeah. Oh, I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, again, that's why they call him the unicorn. I mean, you just don't see this. So it's not like you have a comparison. It's not like you can figure out, other 7 foot threes. Yao Ming was 7'5". Yeah. Yao Ming way heavier, way bigger. His career almost went down with a stress fracture and all that.
He had multiple stress fractures.
I don't know. At the end of the day, these guys are 7'3", fast, moving around quick, playing at a very high level. These things happen.
He reminds me, body habitus-wise, of Sean Bradley, in that they're kind of built the same. I think Sean was 7'6", or something like that. We were talking about him yesterday because I did surgery on a NBA player who was tall. And we were reminiscing about doing surgery on Sean Bradley's 7'6". We had to get two extensions on the OR table, the foot extension and the head extension.
Yeah.
And this is strange. You guys might get a kick out of this, but for other people, not. So we normally break the table, which means we drop the foot of the table so that we can do arthroscopy. Well, we didn't think of it that when you had an extension on the foot of the table, you can't drop the foot of the table or else it scrapes the ground.
Just hits the floor.
I literally could not reach his knee to do the surgery. We were reminiscing about that yesterday. But body habitus-wise, there are the skinny tall people and the short squatty people. And I think that if you get a skinny tall person who moves like this, mm-hmm. you start worrying about how their joints are going to hold up.
Right.
And so I don't – yeah, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Sean Bradley didn't move like
KP. Sean didn't move at all. No. He just went from underbasket to underbasket.
Yep.
He just went back and
up
forth.
Up and down the court.
Yeah. Yep. The thought process that goes into making a medical decision. We talked about this in our pre-production meeting, and I kind of need – to set it up a little bit. We're no different than a mechanic. When you take your car to a mechanic and try to describe to them that it is making this funny sound, well, they're diagnosticians, just like we are. They don't necessarily have x-rays and MRIs and all that other stuff, but they're listening to the symptoms and they're trying to come up with a solution. This is what we do for a living. And we've said this on the show a million times, that the patient will tell you what's wrong. When they describe their symptoms, they're essentially telling you what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And that's why telemedicine has been so successful in the coronavirus era, because you sit there and you're listening to the patient and you got a 90% chance of getting the diagnosis, just like you said, from listening.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why the radio show's been successful. We've taken calls now for 19 years, mm-hmm. and patients are describing. Now, mind you, disclaimer, mm-hmm. radio show, we're not giving out advice, but we're giving you direction based on the symptoms you spit out.
And probability, like we've always said, or you say, common things occur commonly. So if it's a constellation of symptoms, the common diagnosis from what you're telling us, and we're not saying this specific for you, because
exactly.
radio show, 90% chance this is what's going on.
So I saw a lady last week. I was her fifth opinion.
That's a red flag right there.
I was about to say, that's a big red flag.
But this is right up your alley, Scott. This is right up your alley. So she's already seen a renowned foot and ankle specialist. She's already seen who's done injections and rehab and orthotics and whatever. She's already seen a renowned knee guy who did surgery. She's already seen a renowned hip person, and so she's seen all these people, and she's still at her wit's end because her symptoms are still the same despite 2 years' worth of treatment. So what brings you in today? My right leg's on fire. Mm. What? Mm. Did you tell other people that? Yeah, I did. I said, so do you ever have a history of back problems? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turns out, I'm going to fast forward. Turns out she has a very subtle pinched nerve. Mm-hmm. And I say very subtle because once she gets up and moves around, symptoms go away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And not that she doesn't have an ankle problem. She's got an unstable ankle. She's rolled it 5 times. Not that she didn't have a knee problem. But what brought her in to all of these doctors is my leg feels like it's burning.
Oh, dude, that's such a telltale history.
And again, I asked. I said, did you bring this up?
Did you say that word burning?
She said, I said this to everybody.
Right.
So I said, look, I think it's coming from your back. Let's look at your back. Her x-rays were cold normal. So mm-hmm. I thought, oh, you know, she's got a little facet arthritis. What's going on? Maybe I'm off base. Maybe she's got piriformis syndrome and it's the sciaticas in her gluteals, not in her back. She's got a grape size cyst in her right L4 foramina that's sitting right on a nerve root.
Mm. From the facet?
From the facet.
Yeah.
And I said, I think that's what you got. And so we're going through the channels. You'll probably end up seeing her, but we're going through the appropriate, well, let's do a Medrol dose pack if makes it go away. You know, maybe we decompress, whatever, whatever. But the story is the patient will tell you what's wrong with them. And there are some telltale words. If somebody says my leg burns or my leg's on fire, I'm thinking nerve. Isn't that what?
Yeah, I mean, and then there's stuff like my leg is so sensitive, I can't even put, when I put the sheet on the bed,
right.
You know, you're starting to think of regional pain crips.
So what I'm
regional
thinking.
Regional pain syndrome.
Mm-hmm. So the.
We used to call it RSD.
And so now I'm looking
now
at.
Now they call it CPRS type 1 and type 2.
I know, I still call it RSD.
I know.
Encyclopedia.
I know.
You are. An encyclopedia.
Yeah, because then he said type 1, too. I followed him until he said type 1 and type 2.
Yeah, they're breaking him down into two.
Ballard needs a nickname, too. You've got nicknames for us. You don't have one for Ballard.
So,
he's got a nickname for me already.
Perfect. He's perfect.
He's perfect?
No. That's perfect. So, I want to go back. I want to go back.
That's not a nick. Technically, that's not a nickname.
I want to go back to the story because I don't want to lose the story.
The perfect?
The perfect?
No,
if you could put the in front of it, it's a nickname. Yes, we're interrupting you.
Yeah. Cry me a river.
Play that one next.
Yeah, Cry me a river.
Cry me a river.
Yeah. Do you know Cry me a river? That's a How about that one?
Cry me a river, another classic.
Do you know who sings Cry Me a River?
Joe Cocker.
This break can't
what?
Get here.
Joe Cocker is one of the people who covered it. He's not the first.
No, that's Justin Timberlake.
See, that's a generational thing then.
Joe Cocker. But he wasn't even the first.
If I say here, Cry Me a River, I'm thinking Justin Timberlake.
Do you know who Joe Cocker is?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
He's oh my goodness.
He's kind of a...
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Okay.
What can you do a mashup?
I want to finish this thought.
Can you mash up Joe Cocker and JT?
Let me finish the thought.
Go ahead, Doc.
So I specifically asked the question, did you use these words when you talked to all these people? Here's the problem with medicine in the 21st century. Every one of those people have physician extenders. They did not get the history. Their PA or their assistant or somebody got the history. And if that individual is, just take it for what it's worth, a lower level person, they did not convey to the subspecialist the accurate story. Now, the advantage was when she came to see me at Texas Sports Medicine, she saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was no intermediate person. I am certain, knowing the people she saw, they did not get the history.
So I'll take it one step further on what you just said.
So you know.
I know all three people that she saw.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay.
But so I know all of them have
physician extenders.
Have physician extenders. And again, a physician As a staff doctor, I'm only going to go by what the physician extender told me, the patient. So there was one more step. And if they didn't recognize the word burning, then they didn't convey
that
to me.
Yeah, that's a key word.
What also happens is if you have, let's use foot and ankle. You're seeing a foot and ankle physician and they have a physician extender, whatever it may be. Typically, that physician extender's education is solely dependent, reliant on the education, almost the apprenticeship of that orthopedist. Well, if you're a foot and ankle surgeon, you're just seeing foot and ankle problems over and over again.
Good point.
How do you expand upon the 5 years of orthopedics that I did that were pediatric conditions, spine conditions, hand and wrist conditions, all, you know, all the things we rotate through. So that foot and ankle specialist, maybe 10, 15 years in practice, that practice becomes very narrow. If you don't take time,
gotta go on a break.
If you don't take time to then make sure you teach all those other things to that PA or that nurse practitioner or something, then you're not maximizing their education. But you also have to realize you can't expect a PA or a physician or a nurse practitioner to have your level of education. So you just have to use that correctly.
I want to come back to that after the
break. Scott is trying to throw the flag at you.
Yeah, Scott is really upset.
You were actively having the flag thrown.
And that's okay.
This is a perfect tease.
But it's a good conversation to have, because when we were in med school, a PA spent 2 years in clinical practice or clinical rotations, and then we're into practice. Right. I mean, they went right into practice.
We spent 14 years.
We then did our third year of medical school, our fourth year, an internship, 4 years of orthopedic surgery, and then a fellowship. There's just a lot of training.
But, well, there's subtleties to medicine. Well, no. Subtleties to medicine.
Here's the deal. There's one word that tips you off to this whole thing.
Exactly.
She said burning.
Yep.
And if that gets missed, which is the first chief complaint, my leg is on fire.
Yeah.
Right? If that's not conveyed to the doctor who's making decisions, well, it's missed.
Do you know what happens
And
sometimes?
So the doctor's, because the doctor's not going to ask, did she say burning?
Yeah.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
Look, this is, I got to say this before we go on break. We're already late. Sometimes when a patient comes in and says, my leg's on fire, you think they're crazy and you discount them. You do. Some people think that, oh, that's not a symptom.
Right.
And you move on. Quick little break. Inside Sports Medicine coming right back.